up now, it's time to talk to our legend of the game and what a star he was for the Roosters and for Manly back in the 1960s and the 1970s. A kangaroo tourist, a Rothmans medalist in 1970, and an all-round good bloke. Saw him the other day and thought it was a chance for us to get him on this program. So great to have Kevin Junee join the program. G'day, Kev.
Good morning, Jimmy. Hi, Dave.
G'day, Kev. How are you, mate?
Look, really appreciate you joining us on the program, Kev. We ask this of all our legends. How did rugby league become a part of your life?
Jim, I think, it started when I was at school. I went to a little public school in Paddington Public School, and some great footballers and sportsmen came out of that little school. Jimmy Carruthers, the world champion boxer. The Thornett brothers, the great Thornett brothers, I think they represented Australia in rugby and water polo.
Yes.
Going back a bit, and I was only listening to the intro or comments before I came on, and somebody hesitated when they mentioned 1971 and black and white. I'm going back even further. Wow, see how time flies when you're having fun. But, yes, and Paddington Public School, and I was introduced to the game, I guess, by a gentleman by the name of Ray Norman. He was an Australian 5'8", I later found out, and he brought about 20 footballs to the school, and he taught us all the fundamentals of the game, and that was the start of it. And But I loved it from day one.
Yeah.
Then I played junior football with the Paddington Colts. Then I for one or two games, I think. And then I went to Bondi United, a great junior club.
Yes.
And I got called up to grade from Bondi United, and it all sort of rolled on from there. And that was, I think it started around 62. Then I went back to juniors and then in 63 and came back again into grade at the end of 63. And 64, I hit lucky enough to play first grade.
Yeah. I want to ask you, Kevin, what was it like? You went through that journey of the school and all the different junior programs, etc., and then to put that jersey on to play in 64. Did you think beforehand, yep, this is going to happen, or did it just happen and then you now look back and go, well, I was blessed. How good's this?
Well, I guess it all comes from a passion. And look, I was just a young fellow playing in the, I guess, in the laneways of Paddington streets, you know, and that was the way it was in those times as a teenager. And I used to sort of see this young fella jog by the end of the lane down Elizabeth Street, and he was wearing an Eastern Suburbs jumper, and I fell in love with the jumper. But I think the passion of playing any sport, sort of you live in hope. You just keep on doing what you do, and one day hopefully it comes your way.
Mm. You had enormous success as a player, Kev, and in different teams as an individual as well. But what about the tough years at the Roosters, 1964 to 1966, your early years there? I think they won five games in 3 years. How much did that test your mettle?
Well, you know, I think we were all young fellas at that time. And I think the 66 team, we had a lot of juniors coming through. I think half the team are more than juniors. And but the people, the fans loved us. I can remember not winning a game, but every game we started, we went out to win. And we had fans there at the Sydney Sports Ground, which used to occupy where the Sydney Football Stadium is now being pulled down. But it was a great period, because the people being juniors, half the crowd were related to the players on the field, I think.
Yeah.
And it was just a desire. And you played for your district. You had to be born in the district to play for your club. So that tribal aspect was there, evident right in the early days. But, interesting time. But remember, it was the old rule. It was the unlimited tackle rule.
Yes,
and it was pretty tough going. We held our own to about half time, and the crowd stayed till half time, but halfway through the second half, the crowd started to diminish. But they turned up next week and they lived in hope with us. They're on our journey.
I've got to ask about 1970, Kev. This is the Rothmans medal. So
yeah.
What's the story here now? Jimmy was filling me in. You've won the medal, but you didn't get a Guernsey at the event.
No. It's look, I think in the early days of all of this competition, I think I can only fathom that the head office used to ask the club officials, you know, to nominate players they thought would win the medal.
Yeah.
So it's obvious that all the officials didn't nominate any of the Eastern Suburbs players, and they all turned up around the dinner table to have a good night out for themselves. I was just recently married, but I've been married and sort of living in a family with in a flat at Paddington, and a knock comes on the door, and Dad received a phone call, and he told me that I've been requested to go catch a cab and go into town to Phillip Street, and by the way, he said you can wear this bow tie, and I said, well, so I was living in hope. I still didn't know. Arrived at Phillip Street, and they took me upstairs to a private room, and they always promoted the integrity of that these votes were not opened, and were opened on the night.
Yes.
And they took me to the room where these three people were opening the envelopes, and they were having their private function there also. And I sat down, and I forget who was in that room. But it was true they were opening on the night. Anyhow, it's then I went downstairs and they announced the winner, and I was lucky enough to be amongst it, and I won by 1 point, I think.
Wow, that's it. A win's a win when it comes to the Rothmans Medal, Kev. Outstanding.
Well, yeah, it was a lovely honour, and it was all overwhelming at the time. A lot of people ask me what was it like, and I said, well, what is it like? And I said, well, it's supposedly like the Daily M these days, you know, but it was a little bit of the competition wasn't as wide back then as it is today, of course.
Yeah. Hey, Kev, I wanted to ask you, 1972, the Roosters lose the grand final to Manly. They win it the following year, the Seagulls, and you thought, right, well, I better get with the strength, and you went across to Manly in 74, 75, so you made your little mate Johnny Mays come back. He'd won the competition with Manly in 73. He had to come back to the Roosters, and he just found himself, it was a very important part of a really hot side that win the comp 74, 75. So you missed out on winning a competition. When you look back on it now, what's your take on the way that played out for your career?
Oh, look, I think you don't have any control over this. Mm. To some degree, you can make decisions according to the environment. But basically, Johnny Mays, and we are great mates, and we've had a lot of beers and discussions over it, and yeah, I tell him he tells me he got the money, and I tell him I got the looks. So I don't know who wins, but Johnny was my understudy. He was a Bondi United boy also,
yeah,
and he was about 3 to 4 years behind me. So I became established, I guess, as in the first grade side, and but in 72. Where the Roosters played the grand final, but I had a shocking year that year. My ego was sort of pushed around a bit because I had an early season operation on my foot, and the coach said, "Well, look, that was in January," and he said, "Look, get it done." And I had a nerve cut because the nerve was causing too much pain, and basically he said, "Well, you'll be right." So I took that as saying, well, when I come back and I'm fit, I'll be right to go back in the first grade. But in the meantime, the team was winning and Johnny Mays was playing fantastic football, and my nose was out of joint. But it came to the end towards the second half, and I've been playing second grade, and I looked in the mirror and said, there's only one person can change this, And that was me. And so I got out and started to play the... I pushed the ego to the side and got out there and produced the football that I was capable of. And it came to the grand final team. And the coach had to make a decision on Johnny, between Johnny and myself. And he picked me. And John, you know, Johnny has told me over... the time that yes, he felt the pressure and he was, you know, he was, but that was the only way I could, you know, I had to make the change. And I was lucky enough that everybody got behind me and put pressure on the coach and said that we need Junior in the side. And but that was my one and only first grade game for the year.
Yeah, wow.
Johnny came to me and said, oh, you know, he went over to, Manly knew that John would be disappointed, and so John, and they tapped him on the shoulder, and John joined Manly in 73, and he won a competition in 74. So at the end of 73, I had a sports store at Bondi Junction, and Saturday morning, back in the good old days where you could only work till midday and close the door at midday.
Yeah.
I went to work, bought the Telegraph paper, and walked to the shop and opened the door and went in and front page, read the front page and turned the back page. Now, this is Christmas week in 73, getting ready for the 74 season. Headlines, back page, John May signs with East. I said, what? my contract was up, but I hadn't heard anything.
Yeah, right.
And basically, I got hit between the eyes, and all of a sudden, wow, why is this guy coming back? He's left because of disappointment. He's won a premiership, and he's coming back to East to do battle with me again. He must be coming back, I thought, at the time with a few guarantees. You know, so he was first choice. That was the way I read it. And lucky for Johnny, you know, he wins a premiership with East, you know, 74, 74 and 75.
Yeah.
I was disappointed, most definitely. But you've got to get on. You've got to push that aside, you know. And I would have loved, I was lucky enough to have played a grand final. And I think that I say that sincerely. I mean, anybody can reach and play in a grand final. It's an experience in itself.
Yeah.
So I got that far, I guess. Mm. But I don't have any sour grapes. Far from it. You know, it's disappointments, yes, but not sour grapes.
Kevin, got to ask you, who's the best player you ever played with / against?
Well, it's a difficult question. I played with some of the greats of the game. You know, from remember when I played in a state game. Against Northern Queensland. They put me at the 5'8", and I hadn't played 5'8" for years. I was really, really only a halfback. And because I had speed, I caught the ball and drifted wide, and who should come off my shoulder was Reg Gasnier. And I've sent, you know, I was credited with sending him over for 3 tries that night, but I don't know how I did it. But... I thought it was the great, you know, I played against the great St. George players at the time. They were coming to a close, you know, there's Popper, Clay, Gasnier, Langland, you know, Johnny King. Ron Cook stands out. He was the start of the wide running forwards, or the modern day forwards. And I could keep going on. I thought Johnny Peard, you know, not that I played with every 5'8", but always thought Johnny Peard was one of the best 5'8s going around. And he was a local junior who played for Bondi, came out of the Bondi United Club. Look, we could go on. We need a few more minutes than what we have here. But one of the greatest memories is, if I may take the privilege here, was playing in the 67 side. You know, we didn't win a game in 66.
Yes.
They introduced a 4-tackle rule. in 67, and we made virtually the same team made the grand final, made the semi-finals.
Yeah.
And that was a real Cinderella magic carpet ride for us, and that was an experience I'll never forget. And I've told the story that when we actually played on the Sydney Cricket Ground, which was the honour of playing the most important game in that round, and we played Canterbury. I just forget the score, but we won. And the Paddington Hill, as it was known then to the left of the M&8 Noble Stand, it was all our school mates and junior playing mates. As we were running off the field, I said to Jim Matthews, our captain, I said, Jim, why don't we go over to the Paddo Hill and acknowledge them? And he said, okay. So he took us over there and... He turned to me and he said, "What do we do now?" I said, "I don't know. Just wave." And I attribute that to as starting the modern thing that the players do. You know, we were one of the first teams to have done that, and yeah. It was a wonderful experience.
Nah,
a wonderful experience.
Hey, Kev. Speaking of running out of minutes, we've got commercial considerations we have to meet here. It's been our privilege to hear you take a trip down memory lane. I'm sure our listeners have enjoyed it. I know Dave and I have, and great to hear from you again, and great to see you the other day as well. Mate, thanks for being our legend of the game today.
Yeah, my pleasure, and thanks, guys.
Cheers, mate.
There he is, Kevin Juney, the original Whippet, and a real gentleman as well.